your Spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Similarly, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building, on the day when Lot left Sodom. Fire and brimstone rained from the sky to destroy them all. So it will be on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, someone who is on the housetop and whose belongings are in the house must not go down to get them, and likewise one in the field must not return to what was left behind. Remember the wife of Lot. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses it will save it. I tell you, on that night there will be two people in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. And there will be two women grinding me together. One will be taken, the other left. They said to him in reply, "Where, Lord?" He said to them, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will gather." Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. In the gospel yesterday, the Lord Jesus helped us to focus precisely on the kingdom of God. That it can't be observed the way we observe physical things. It's not something we're going to say echo of voila, because the kingdom of God is already among us precisely because the King is here. And wherever we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we learn the way to unite ourselves with that King, precisely through uniting ourselves to his holy will and allowing him to act through us. But we know that when the King first came, there were those who embraced him and those who rejected him. That two people were doing the same thing, two people in their same households. Some were open to this revolution, and some didn't respond to God's help to open themselves up and live in this new reality. Today in the gospel, Jesus illustrates how his kingdom operates. He's given us so many parables that it's like a grain of mustard seed. It's like a little bit of yeast. It's like a net. It's like a field with wheat and weeds. Jesus illustrates that in an eschatological way here, meant to capture our attention so that in the here and now we are living in the kingdom rather than just have the kingdom outside of us at the same time. So with some shocking images, he seeks to alert us. As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the time of the Son of Man. They were doing all these ordinary activities, eating, drinking, marrying, giving marriage, up until the day the flood came. They were caught off guard, so many of them. He illustrates it anew in the days of Lot. They were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. When fire and brimstone rained down from the sky to destroy them all. Two people will be up on a housetop. Two people in bed. Two in the kitchen. One will be taken, one won't. Not by some type of arbitrary decision on the part of God, but because one will be grinding meal together with the Lord and one won't be. One will be sleeping together in the kingdom with the King, resting him, and one won't be. The way that we're called to live in the kingdom, the way we're called to mean what we pray, in that couplet Jesus gave us in the Our Father, "Thy will, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." It's precisely by the moral of all of these illustrations. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will save it. That to live in the kingdom, to do the Lord's will, is precisely to give our lives in love for God and for others. St. John makes that point. He had heard these parables. He reflected on them for the next 60 or 70 years by the time he was writing this, his second letter. It's the only time in 2 years that the Church allows us to ponder liturgically the second letter of St. John. So we've got to make the most out of this opportunity. But it's all, as he routinely does, very simple about the way to walk the walk of the Christian faith. To enter into the kingdom, to live in the kingdom, is to walk in the truth as we were commanded by the Father, he says. I'm not writing a new commandment, but the one we had from the beginning, to love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to the Lord's commandments, that we walk according to his will, that we live with the King in action. He says that there are many deceivers. And he's not just talking about the Gnostics here. He's talking about the people who were exteriorly Christian, but inwardly far from the kingdom. He said many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who don't acknowledge Jesus Christ is coming into the flesh. They don't really grasp the meaning of the incarnation, that the faith is something esoteric for them, just like it was for the Gnostics, rather than something that's supposed to be incarnate in all their actions, that the kingdom is supposed to be real. Such is the deceitful one and the Antichrist, the one who rejects the kingship of Christ in the midst of ordinary life and activities. Specifically calls out those who said that they were progressive. Anyone who is so progressive as not to remain in the teaching of Christ does not have God. In other words, they could talk huge disquisitions about charity, but if they're not remaining in Christ's teaching on charity, on what real love is and what the imposters are, they don't have the Father and the Son. They're not in the kingdom. So we need to allow this to be a spiritual smelling salt for us. If Jesus were to update this, he would say, two priests and chasubles, one will be taken, one will not. Two will be in religious habits, one will be taken, one will not. That there is a possibility for us to just be going through the motions on the outside, rather than allowing Jesus to reign, rather than allowing his charity to become our way of life, rather than living lives that announce the good news and encourage people to enter into the same kingdom by imitating our relationship with the King. To give us inspiration, today we are so fortunate to have the example of St. Martin of Tours. St. Martin was a pagan. His father was a Roman army officer. Martin followed him in. At a precocious age, he was riding on a horse, which showed he was a member of the Roman cavalry, in Amiens during the winter. Amiens in northern France is cold. I was there once on January 1st, and I can attest how cold it is. And as he was just sort of trying to keep order, riding by the city gates, he saw a cold man shivering, basically almost entirely naked in the brutal winter. He saw so many people leaving the gates and entering, nobody giving them the time of day. The same way that some people in just January and February here can just be passed by the multitudes as if they don't exist. Martin couldn't believe it. So he brought his horse a little close. The man looked up at this tremendous animal. and saw the Roman officer dismount, took out his huge Roman lance, and the poor man began to wonder what he might do with that lance and whether his life was about to end. And instead, after that evagination, he cut his kappa in two, and he gave half that great Roman cape to the shivering man to stay warm there. It was just a human response of charity at first. But that night, in a dream, Jesus appeared to Martin, covered with half his kappa, and said, "Martin has given me his cape." From that point forward, just like St. Paul on the road to Damascus, when outside the Damascus city gates, he was struck and Jesus said, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting not my church, not my followers? Why are you persecuting me?" And Paul grasped from that conversion for the rest of his life how the church is united to Jesus as his body and his bride, and he spent the rest of his life trying to found and strengthen the church as the vehicle for helping us enter into God's kingdom. So Martin, after that conversion, recognizing that Jesus meant it when he said, "I was poor, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was naked, I was a stranger, and you cared for me," that every act of charity done, Jesus would take personally. So he wanted to spend all the rest of his days loving Christ in that way, walking in the way of the new commandment, which is to love one another just as Christ has loved us first. That Christ has covered us with all his virtue, with all his loving mercy, and we go out and with that treasure seek to cover others with that same gift. Martin became a monk after he had converted to Christianity, but eventually his wisdom and his leadership abilities were so needed in the 4th century, where there were many of those who were not living in the kingdom, just as we see in the second letter of John today. And so, led by the efforts of Saint Hilaire de Poitiers, he was chosen to be the Bishop of Tours. And he crisscrossed his vast diocese, announcing the kingdom and trying to show how people could enter, how people could walk in the way of the commandments alongside Martin on that pilgrimage that leads to Jesus' eternal right side. He had to fight against the heresies of his day. He had to fight against the hard-heartedness that exists at every age. And he never stopped fighting. At the very end of his life, as we read in the breviary this morning, St. Martin was tired, and he had always had a hunger for heaven. But when everybody was lamenting around him what they would do without his leadership, without his guidance, he turned, as we saw, and prayed to the Lord and said, "Lord, thy will be done. If you want me to stay here longer, I am happy to stay." To the very end of his life, he was laying down his life, and his life was in that very process being saved. Today, as we come forward to receive the same strength from the altar with which Martin was nourished each day, let us ask the Lord Jesus to give us a double portion of St. Martin's spirit so that we might learn how to walk according to the truth, so that we might, in all that we say and do, do the will of the Lord, so that we might, in fact, lay down our lives out of love for others and come to that kingdom where Martin now rejoices. And let us seek to do so in the way that no other sister or brother priest or lay person will be left behind. Praise be Jesus Christ.